It's time now for our Tuned In program, and joining us on the line is Pastor Jim with OSF Healthcare and Grief Support. And Jim, thank you so much for your time.
You are welcome.
Let's talk about... Go ahead.
Pardon?
Sorry, I'm sorry.
I said, boy, that forecast just sounds amazing.
It does, doesn't it? Little sun therapy for everybody.
Exactly.
Now let's talk about where we were. I believe we were talking about this last week, trying to regain some energy after grief.
Yeah, and I had the idea back, you know, kind of in the midwinter blahs, and we just taken a couple of months to talk it through, and that was why the forecast kind of struck me. It was because we're leaving the winter blahs, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what, grief is draining. And so, yeah, we were talking about some ways to kind of regain some of the energy that is naturally lost.
Well, let's talk about that.
Pardon?
Let's talk about that. Let's go into some of these.
Yeah, so, and all of today's fit under a single category that I would call taking initiative. If there is one common denominator, and I've now had hundreds of conversations with grieving family members, if there is one common denominator that I have heard, it is that the person who is grieving has to reach out and has to do more and has to take more initiative than what feels fair. We've talked about this before, that in the initial, you know, maybe week or two, you get lots of phone calls, lots of letters, lots of this, that, and the other, but they kind of trail off. And the person who is grieving has to be the one that then reaches out. And so all of these kind of fit with that initiative category. And the first one is related very much to, you know, picking up the phone and calling somebody. It's to vent your feelings. Science will tell us that when you keep your feelings bottled up, when you don't talk about them, when you don't write them out, because an alternative to having a conversation with somebody is to write it out, you know, to journal, that kind of thing. But science would tell us that if we keep our feelings bottled up and we don't let them out, that in itself is wearing. It's almost like I heard the old an old illustration about this was about anger and about, you know, grudges and relationships and things like that. But if you can imagine trying to hold a bunch of ping pong balls underwater with your hand, you know, they just pop up.
Yeah.
You just can't. It's just an enormous amount of energy to hold stuff in. So my first encouragement to folks is to find somebody that you trust, or, you know, blank pages in a book somewhere if necessary, but just find some way of getting your feelings out, to talk about them, to write them, that kind of thing. Another very simple way, and again, it's all based on science, and I'm skeptical until I read that it's backed, but it's just music. Music, scientifically proven, it effectively distracts you from fatigue.
Wow.
So, for example, on a treadmill, they've done tests, and if a person is running with music in their ears or music in the environment, they will run faster than somebody who's running in silence.
Interesting.
Yeah. So just throwing some music on, and even just background noise of that kind is just very helpful. A lot of my widows and widowers will put music on in the background just because, you know, obviously the house is just so very silent. And so that makes a big difference.
Yes, I imagine.
Kind of along with the ping pong ball illustration, letting go of grudges, letting go of other things that are taking your energy. Grief itself requires an enormous amount of energy being put into grieving. It just takes it all out of you. If you've had the experience, you know that you know, you're exhausted all the time, you can't think straight. This is especially in the beginning. And so one of the ways that you can regain some energy is to, excuse me, to eliminate the things that are also taking your energy. So grudges is one of the big things, you know, where we're holding on to something. And of course, there's other relational things like that. The practice of deep breathing really does work. I was introduced to that with the OSF in Peoria. We had staff meetings every month, and I was introduced to this whole idea of mindfulness and deep breathing and all those kinds of things. And I, to be honest with you, thought it was a bunch of malarkey and until I tried it.
Right.
And then I found that it was very, very helpful. And, you know, they just taught us the simplicity of outside of someone's home before we go in to just kind of take a moment, a few deep breaths, consider, you know, what you're doing, how you're going to approach the family that you're about to meet, all that kind of thing. But it's all the same concept. This is just applied to our jobs, but it's all the same concept of just taking some time throughout the day to just do a little deep breathing, a little relaxation. And again, that's just very, it does provide just a little burst of energy.
It's very logical too. Also, just to, from a mental standpoint, if you're focused on your breath and you're just, you know, telling yourself to take deep breaths, you're not thinking about the thing that's bothering you.
Right. Some of these things are, some of these techniques or whatever, are very much, well, I don't want to downplay them by calling this them distractions.
Mm-hmm.
But distraction is a genuinely useful tool when it comes to grief, because you can't stay in profound emotional grief continually.
Yeah.
We just don't have the capacity for that.
Very
That's
true.
Why the model that I see, you know, I've studied all these different models of grief, and the one that I see most often reflected in reality, and somebody listening to this is just going to poke holes everywhere because I'm not professional at this by any means. But I believe it's called dual process.
Yeah.
And basically what it means is that we kind of bounce between the two poles of emotional, you know, crying and feeling sad and, you know, just the emotional side of things. And then we bounce over to the pole of the physical side of things, where we're cleaning a room, or we're writing thank you cards, or we're, you know, taking care of some business aspect of it, or we're taking a walk, or doing something necessary. You know, when the widower fixes his first meal,
mm-hmm,
by himself, that kind of thing, that physical kind of activity. Most of the time we're bouncing between those two poles because we don't have the capacity to just keep in that deep emotional state all the time.
I can almost feel the exhaustion just thinking about that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And environment has a lot to do with restoring energy. I could tell you stories about widows mostly, but where when I would first begin to visit them, you know, the home is dark, and throughout the weeks and months that we visit and meet, there's this transformation within the home. And so letting more light in, especially sunlight, that's why I was excited about the forecast.
Yeah.
And you referred to sun therapy. That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's legit. And I hope that anyone who is dealing with any kind of mental, emotional, relational challenge right now can benefit just from the simplicity of soaking up some sun.
Oh, hopefully. That's a hopeful truth right there. Now, Pastor Reynolds, how are things with the grief support groups?
Grief support groups are still not meeting in person. We attempted, an online version, and we got a few to engage in that, but not many. And we'll be sending out invitations again soon, or we're just going to move it outdoors. We'll find a picnic shelter somewhere.
Well, that's a good thought.
Yeah, we got to get people together again somehow.
Yeah, it is the best way for a grief support group to meet. That is for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Reynolds, we are out of time this morning, but thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
And Pastor Jim Reynolds will join us again next month here on WKEI to talk more about grief and grief support.